You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. Well, we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. You ever thought to yourself, how the heck do I get everybody rallied around this cause and how do I become a better leader? Well, today we're going to go right there. We're going to talk about the four key pillars for dental team success that include one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It's called emotional intelligence. And I have an amazing coach today on the podcast. Her name is Miranda Beeson, and she walks us through these four pillars. If you get this, I promise you, your practice will get better and your life will get better. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying this because we're going to keep bringing it with the stuff that matters and the stuff that we sometimes overlook that makes the biggest difference. And today we're going to be talking about leading beyond the chair, the four key pillars for dental team success with the director of education. And her name is Miranda Beeson. Miranda, thanks for being on. I always, always appreciate you.
Thanks, Kirk. I love being here. I'm excited to talk about this today.
Yeah. And what you guys don't know, or maybe you do know, is that Miranda is an amazing coach here. She helps us develop our content. This content comes straight from what we do all day. We are coaches. We coach dental practices all over the country that aren't broken. They're actually pretty good. And they're stuck. And they're thinking, how do I get better? And when you can get your arms around what we're going to talk about today, you're going to see not only does your life get better, your relationships get better, and your practice gets exponentially better. So let's go right there. Why is this so important? We're going to go through the four pillars, but tell us why.
So the four pillars are going to be the pillars of being an emotionally intelligent leader, being a really strong, emotionally intelligent leader for your team. And as the leader, you have a responsibility to your team. We often say at ACT, as goes the leader, goes the team. And so your decision-making in your practice, your leadership, your transparency, your clarity, the connection that you're making with your team is going to be directly impacted by your level of emotional intelligence as a leader. So we've heard before, over and over again, people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses. Now, sometimes it's the job, but a lot of the times it's a lack of clear leadership. It's maybe not having a leader that challenges us directly, that provides that personal connection or understands us as people, and they're looking at us as just resources. And so in working with teams, I would say this comes up a lot. And why I really thought this would be helpful to talk about in the podcast today is when our leaders that we're working with as coaches struggle with a team member or a particular situation that repetitively causes them frustration in the practice. There's systems at play. You know, systems are what we have to say are the fault there. But we also have to look in the mirror sometimes and say, am I leading really well in this scenario? Am I leading clearly? Am I being fogged perhaps by my own feelings or emotions around the situation? Have I let it get a little bit too far? And so that's what we're going to talk about today is that emotional intelligence factor and the pillars of our EQ. So we have EQ and IQ, you know, Kirk, and some people argue, and some research even shows us that your EQ, your emotional intelligence quotient, is more important even than your IQ. You can be the smartest person in the world when it comes to book smarts or taking a test, but if you can't read a room or you can't learn to work with people and manage your emotions, you're not going to have as much success in your practice. So it's just really important to know that your EQ tells a story of how well you manage your emotions, how well you manage the relationships you have with those around you. And it's going to help you to be a more successful leader and have a better practice and more success in your practice life.
All right. That gives me so much hope, because when you say your EQ is more important than your IQ, you're saying there's hope for me. So, and I'll just say this, like, I'm not great at it. I'm not super smart. My friends from high school would say that is true. He is not very smart, and nor would my friends from college. But I think the one thing we can all agree on is the better you get at people. I said this to the top group on Friday, like, don't get great at you want to get great at dentistry, but your career, focus on getting good at people, and you're going to screw up. And when team members come to you and they quit or things blow up, it's not them. It's you. People never, I don't think we can echo that sentiment enough. People don't leave dental practices. They leave a person. And so your game as a dentist is not to create a unique sales proposition, but a unique employment proposition where people say, listen, in a world that's going to be crazy, I love working for the person I work for, because not only is she a great dentist, but she's an even better human being. Now, you got to earn that. And so, Miranda.
And I would argue that it's actually easier to become a better clinical dentist than it is to become a leader.
Why?
There's just a practicality to it. There's very much a beginning and an end. And when it comes to leadership, it's an ever evolving, ever growing process. And so you can take what's on the textbook and then turn it right into application. And I think where a lot of leaders struggle, especially dentists, is they have that practicality and application mindset. And this is concept. This is a whole different beast than what you're used to learning and growing in. And you were actually talking at our last To the Top about character isn't just something you have. Character is something you can develop. And emotional intelligence is something you can develop as well, where IQ is kind of what it is, right? Like, our brain develops to a certain stage in life and then it kind of stops and sometimes regresses. But when it comes to our emotional intelligence, we can be working on that and fostering that and growing that throughout our entire life. But it's not as easy as take it off the piece of paper, watch the video, replicate. It's a little tougher to understand from a conceptual standpoint. We're going to try to slim it down for everyone today into these 4 points to make it a little easier to at least get started.
I love it. I'm almost thinking, before you listen to what Miranda is going to tell you, you've all had experiences listening to this podcast where you met an incredible leader, somebody from your past. You're like, wow, they were smart. They handled themselves really well. They had a very high emotional intelligence. Then you have a friend who has zero emotional intelligence, and you're like, oh my gosh. And you're thinking, just like I am, I'm somewhere way in the middle on one side or the other, and you want to be moving towards making better decisions. So take us through these four domains. Where do we even start?
Yeah, absolutely. So the very first domain is self-awareness. So self-awareness is just having the ability to acknowledge and understand your own moods and emotions. So self-awareness grows through experiences, the good and the bad, but you have to be able to reflect on them, paying close attention to your inner dialogue, your reactions, and your feelings. So self-awareness is literally being able to say, I understand that I'm emotionally flooded right now. If someone upsets you, say, Susie, poor Susie, your dental assistant has to get up again from a procedure to go get something she forgot in the setup, even though we've talked about it before, and you feel that heat rise in your chest and your brain starts spinning, you start to feel frustrated, angry, disappointed, sad. There's all these feelings that start happening. And if we're aware of that and we can stop for a moment and reflect on our feelings, and then we'll be able to move into these future stages. What we often see is if this piece is lacking, we can talk about team members in this regard too, because this matters for everyone. If you have a team member that lacks accountability, they can't seem to even see the damage that they're doing or the response that they're providing, they probably lack self-awareness. And you as a leader, if you have team members that feel as if you don't get it. Like, he just doesn't get it. He can't connect, or he doesn't understand where I'm coming from, or she doesn't understand where I'm coming from. It's possible that we're still stuck at self-awareness.
Yeah. So true. And I think
you do a really great job of this. So you sell yourself short on IQ, but as a leader, because you're a leader for me and the ACT organization, and I think you do a great job of self-awareness. And I think a big piece of self-awareness is accountability and being able to acknowledge, like really it comes down to just acknowledging where you're currently at.
Right. Well, that's very kind of you. And you weren't here 10 years ago.
So there's somebody listening to this like, well, he must have grown in his emotions.
Oh my gosh, he must have really made. You know, and I'll kind of tie this together because there's a couple things. And you're hitting some hot points for me because if you're listening to this podcast, I want you to read Adam Grant's book, Hidden Potential. It's really great. I can't even put it down. Shout out to Dr. Chris Mazzola for suggesting it. There's so many nuggets in it. And one of the nuggets along the first two chapters is what, Miranda, you just said, which is character is not a trait. It's a skill. And what you have to do is transition from reacting, which I used to do all the time. I get emotional, I would get frustrated, and I would react. And I thought reacting was, wow, I'm going to really, spray a can of clarity on this whole situation because that's what everybody needs. And what I didn't know back then is I was killing everybody. And so that's one piece. The other thing is having filters. So I'm a big fan of having a coach. And if you can't find a coach, you need a leadership team of people that can talk to you and go, you do not say that. Okay. What you just said, intention and impact do not work. And so I have a couple layers. I have Barrett, who's my integrator, and he's awesome at saying, don't go there today. Stay focused on what's important. You know, then I have my leadership team, which includes Miranda, and they're like, don't do that. You know, so by the time I'm cascading information or ideas, it's been through a couple of filters, no different than Sarah and I getting a line before we tell one of our kids something. So I think it's important that when you need as much help as I do, you either have filters or some type of framework so that you're making better decisions as you age and have people in your lives.
Yeah, and that really takes us into that second pillar, which is self-regulation. But before we jump right there, I do want to give a couple of tips on, so how can you have to move up the ladder of emotional intelligence through the four pillars. So if I'm at self-awareness and just learning what that is and trying to become more self-aware, like how can I impact my own emotions and be aware of what I'm experiencing? And honestly, I think what it is for most of us, especially in the dental world, is time is not on our side. And we are go, 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 going all day long. And truly, you do have to stop. And you have to ask yourself, what am I experiencing right now? Yeah. Like, why am I experiencing this? How is it impacting my ability to perform? How's that going to impact my team? How's that going to impact my patients? I like a word wheel. Like, you can go online and Google a word wheel. There's like, I don't even know how many thousands of words. We say very commonly, happy, sad, angry, frustrated, right? Those primary, but there's so many words that then expand out from those. And so if you can actually put a name to what you're experiencing, so what am I experiencing? What is the actual emotion I'm feeling right now? Like, start to ponder, like, why am I feeling like this? Like, what is it about her leaving the room over and over and over again that triggers this in me, that makes me feel this way? And then how's it impacting my ability to perform moving forward? And that takes us into, now that I know what it is, now I have to figure out how to regulate this emotion. And that's what you were just mentioning of responding versus reacting. Now that I know I'm frustrated, I have to figure out what to do with that information.
Yeah. Regulators. Okay. So I just have to say,
mount up.
Let me just say one more thing about self-awareness. And this isn't what we're talking about today, but if I could do one thing, if I had a couple of wishes and I could go back to my 25-year-old self, I would take every personality test on the planet and figure out who the heck I was. First one would be the DISC, D-I-S-C. Second one would be the Colby A index. And I would have Kathy Colby interpret it for me, because when you do the Colby, my Colby is that I'm a horrible quick start. I can start it. I'm getting that wrong. I'm a great quick start, but I can't finish anything in my life. And I've tried to finish things and it gets messy. We're now into the working genius. You can use Myers-Briggs. And when you start to do these tests, number one, you laugh out loud. Number two, you go, oh my gosh, that is me. And then when somebody else takes the same test, they go, that is totally you. I just finished a call. with a dentist who had to referee an argument between a D dental assistant and he thinks the other one is an S. I'm like, you got to know that, you know,
Yeah. They
are polar opposites. And what a great opportunity for self-awareness to help them and you all figure out who you are before you start having these conversations. Don't you think?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great point. I will never pass up an opportunity to do some type of behavioral or personality assessment. I was even telling you about positive intelligence, and that's one that you can do that rates how what type of saboteurs come into play that take you out of a positive headspace and into a negative headspace. And every time I take one, I'm exactly that. Oh my gosh, how on earth do they know exactly who I am in a matter of like 25 to 50 questions? This is insane. But the more aware you are of your own self, the better benefit you're going to have to the people around you. And when we get to the end of this, another thing, I like to hire around emotional intelligence. And there are ways when you get really good at this to be able to recognize if someone has that or not, because you're going to limit the amount of those toxic conversations that happen within your practice, the drama, what you were just talking about, the call that you were on. You have less and less and less of those when you have team members and team around you that also have a higher level of intelligence, emotional intelligence. So
100%. I love it. We could spend an hour on this one, but we got to move to regulation is the second pillar. Walk us through this.
Yeah. So regulation is the ability to control the impulses around those moods and emotions. So once we're aware of what they are and we've named that emotion, we have to be able to regulate it. So our self-regulation allows us to stop and respond instead of that reaction, like you were sharing earlier that you experienced in the past, just taking that moment to think before you act. So when this domain is developed, you're also enabled to take accountability for your actions and feelings. So the first step is being able to own what am I feeling. You know, if my kids come home frustrated from school or something, I can just tell something like, tell me how you're actually feeling. Well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so said, nope. How are you feeling about that? And getting them really in tune to what is the actual feeling that you're having right now? Okay, cool. Now we can stop and think, I feel like this because why? What do I need to go do about it? Instead of just that immediate, I feel something, blah. And like, we're just reacting and responding in a way that might actually make things worse and not better.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling, again, I have so much fun with the To The Top study club because I bare my soul and tell stories. But as you progress through number one and you get into number two, you start to change your behavior. Because my old behavior was I would collect my thoughts and then I would write a really long text to someone who I thought would totally get it. And I was joking that I used to send Barrett these big, long texts. He should show them to you in some, I mean, he probably should delete them, but I would send them and I'd be so careful about the words. And then I would reread my own text and go, wow, that was really on the money. And I would send it to him on a Sunday or a Monday night. And what I didn't know again was I was killing him. And I actually even did it this morning. I'm like, I often write an email and delete it. And then I'll send a text, but I don't send it. I'll write it and then delete it. And then I use the old acronym, wait, why am I talking? There's no need for this. Now that we have, and I'm getting off the rails here, but now that we have meeting cadences that include issues, I can go, that's an issue for next Monday. I don't have to bother him while he's at a curling tournament. Yes, he's a curler, a professional curler. About something that's on my mind. So keep going. You're going to have to regulate my thoughts here.
That is actually a form of self-regulation. That's a tangible form. So I actually say it's a great idea to journal or type out that email with no intention of sending it. Get all of those feelings and that emotional flooding and outburst out. Okay, now that all that's gone, you're going to have a clearer head to go back and say, is this really what I would want to say to this person? Is this actually going to be helpful in this scenario? So for example, taking a walk can be a tangible, like go outside. So my son came home the other day from school and he was fired up about something, which meant as soon as we got in the car, I was fired up because why are you fired? So we're fired up by the time we got home. And we got home and I was like, you know what? Because I do have a pretty solid emotional intelligence quotient. I've been working on this for years and years. And I'm like, this isn't how we're going to spend the rest of our day. I know how I'm feeling. I can tell how you're feeling. Like, let's leash up the dogs. Let's take a walk. We didn't talk. We just got outside, fresh air, sunshine, dogs on a walk. And by halfway through the walk, we were just having a calm, normal conversation. So in your dental practice, you can't necessarily leave and go for a walk. Maybe you can over lunch, but you know, you can go out back. You can go stand out back for a few minutes and take some deep breaths and just soak up the sun, help get that emotional flooding under control. So a thing to ask yourself if you're trying to figure out self-regulation is just like, what could I do to change my mood? Think about things that generally would take you from sad or frustrated to happy or peaceful. And that's going to be different for every person. It might be putting in your earbuds and listening to some calming music. It might be stepping outside. It might be getting it all out in an email or on a piece of paper so that you can release some of what you're feeling. But whatever would normally take you from sad to happy or frustrated to peaceful, just starting to implement those things in a tangible way and thinking, how could I appropriately express how I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing, especially if it has to do with someone else's behavior. We want to make sure that we're thinking really intentfully about how is this an appropriate way? What would be an appropriate way for me to express this feeling that I've now been able to identify? I've gone through self-awareness. I know I feel mad and I know it's because of this. What's the disc of this person that I need to go talk to? How's the best way for me to send them this information? Just being able to reflect and regulate on what we then do with how we're feeling and what we're experiencing.
Yeah. And let me sprinkle an element along the side of this. It's called trust. So as your family grows and you bring in siblings or other kids and cousins, and as your business grows, you have to really nurture this thing called trust, where they believe in you. You know, some of you are trying to grow. You're not going to grow unless you get a group of people to trust you and go, listen, I'm going to bring him a pretty big bomb. I already know how he's going to react and he's going to be okay with it. He's not going to love it, but he's not going to freak out and lose his mind. And so I think this is really important, you know, and especially as your relationships evolve with people, you know, there are going to be things that change over time. And you becoming better at the emotional intelligence piece is so important. So what's pillar number three?
So pillar number three, you're so good at leading me right where I need to go, is social awareness. So right now we've been talking about our own feelings and being aware of them and regulating them. But the next pillar in the emotional intelligence quotient is social awareness. So being able to recognize and understand other people's emotions. So it's the ability to understand the emotional state of other people and your effect on other people. So this can be really impactful in the dental office. You can't skip to number three though. You have to be able to work your way through your own self first. But once you have a really stable handle on your own self, now you can start to look at how you affect other people in collaborative work environments and on teams. A real simple way to look at it is, how well do you read the room? You know, if you're able to manage your emotions, but you walk in and you're super happy and you see that everybody's really down, do you feel that? Do you sense that? Are you able to recognize and be aware of how other people are feeling, your patients and your team members alike?
Right. And even on, you know, even on the other side, you know, I always joke that there's two types of people, people that walk into a room and say, how are you doing? And people that walk in a room and go, how am I doing? You know, so like, even if you're in a bad place, you know, just spraying that on everybody when you walk into a party is kind of like a very, and I get it. Like, I'm not telling you to be fake, but there are people that walk into a room and they're very locked in and how they can read a room. You know, you can't put a finger on it, but you can see that they become aware of how to read the room and interact with the room.
Well, and I would say fake is a tough word. You do have to modify your own self in that moment. Now, does that mean you have to be fake? Not necessarily, because you're always going to be feeling whatever is that you're feeling inside. But this is where we talk about, how do I regulate that emotion? And then what are the things that I can do to impact social awareness? So treating each connection that you have with someone else as an opportunity to learn or truly listen. What you just mentioned, how are you doing? You know, that concept of be interested, not interesting. Ask more questions than what you're giving. And honestly, just stop for a minute and look around. Read body language. Look at the expressions on people's faces. See how everyone is doing. And if everyone is really pumped up this morning, you don't want to be the leader that walks in a bad mood because you argued with your wife when you were walking out the door and were stuck in traffic on the way to work. You have to figure out a way to regulate and manage those emotions. Walk into that room, see, ooh, my team is crushing it right now. They are pumped to get started with the day. And now I have to figure out a way to bring myself into this collaborative environment and fit in with the vibe of what's going on, because I don't want to be the one that sets us off on the wrong foot when they're ready to go.
Right. And a big piece, and again, I just love this stuff, Miranda, is, you know, your own systems. And I'll just add, like, social awareness for me is greatly supplemented by a good amount of sleep, some exercise in the morning, and just a healthy pattern. When I have no sleep and I feel miserable, I'm going to walk into it, I'm going to be 50% of who I really want to be, which makes it very hard to ultimately manage my energy around people. So I think as a dentist, you have to be cognizant of that, and you have some non-negotiables, you know, like I got to be to bed by 10, or I got to exercise, I got to go through my morning routine, you know? So,
you have to know the things that are going to help you bring the best you to your team, because we talked again, at To the Top, and we'll talk this summer when we go into our healthy, To the Top session around being an emotionally intelligent leader. But you have to be transparent with your team. You have to be clear with your team, but ultimately, you have to inspire your team. And that doesn't mean you have to get up and hold a pep rally, but you have to be able to figure out how to meet them where they are, to continue to inspire them towards really ultimately your vision for your practice that they're helping you achieve. And so that inspiration and motivation has to be there. So when we look at the social awareness piece, before we move on to the next pillar, you're really looking at two things. What's happening with the emotional state of the people around me? What are they saying and what are they doing? What does their facial expressions look like? What does their body language look like? So that you can start to identify what's going on with the people around me. And the other piece of that is, how do I impact the people around me? And so again, this is my ability to influence them, to inspire them, to motivate them through my words, through my actions. So how could their emotional state be affecting their performance or actions? And what do I need to do to help them modify that and improve?
Yeah. And this takes work, you know,
work.
Getting feedback. Another thing that I'll just add is, this is so important what Miranda's taking through, and we're going to go into pillar number four, but as a leader, if you're not okay with feedback, it'll never work. You have to, at some point, go, listen, you got to give me some feedback. And that's why, even on Friday with our two of the jobs, I'm like, Chris, give me some coaching. And she's like, okay, one more thing. Like, you got to be okay with people going, okay, here, and let me help you. And when they trust you and you trust them, it takes on another shape, and you can start to change how you affect people socially.
Absolutely. Having feedback as a leader, I think, is almost more important than being able to give feedback. As a leader, I think a lot of leaders think that's their job. You know, I have to manage these people. I have to teach them. I have to give them feedback. And you do. But the most successful leaders want feedback on their leadership. I got feedback from a team member this week. It was amazing. I've asked Chris, who you just mentioned you asked feedback for as well. I've asked you to give me feedback. Like, accolades are great, but I really need constructive feedback. And I've mentioned before, there's a book called Thanks for the Feedback. And they talk about how there's really three different types of feedback. There's appreciation and celebration, and there's coaching, and then there's evaluation. And most of us view feedback as evaluation or judgment. But in reality, the bulk of the feedback that we're giving and getting is coaching. And if we can frame our mindsets around the feedback being coaching, just, hey, I care about you and I want to help you be a little bit better. I have some coaching for you. Are you up for it? As a leader, you should always say yes. Always. Yeah.
Always. So the three pillars we've covered: self-awareness, self-regulation, social awareness. What's pillar number four?
All right. Pillar number four is relationship management. So this is the ability to influence others and understanding and managing their emotional state, or of a group of people. So this is a super high level emotional intelligence skill. This, you have to really master the others before you can get here. But when this is developed, you can really truly impact the mood of not just individuals, but an entire group or a team. We actually talk, Kirk, you and I, about, you know, we're in front of a room a lot with what we do for a living, and there's an energy in the room. And when you're leading that room, you have to be aware of the vibe and the energy in the room, and then be able to manage what's going on with those feelings and those emotions. And so if you are really solid in your own awareness, self-awareness, and then regulating your emotions through all experiences, you're good at reading the room and seeing how other people are behaving or speaking and relaying their emotions. You're going to be able to be much more successful at actually then managing other people's emotions. And this is when you can really step in as a leader and really help your team and develop leaders. We talk all the time about, like, great leaders develop other leaders. And this is the piece that's, like, I think the magic, you know, secret sauce in the recipe is when you get to the point where you can help other people learn how to manage their emotions and work through these steps of emotional intelligence and develop. Now you're really going to make some impact on your team.
Yeah. And I hate to tie all of our podcasts together, but this is where you say, in the most challenging moments, what would my values say? I had a moment last week where I'm like, okay, I'm completely losing control of what's going on right here. And this is freaking me out. And in my old days, I would have just tackled the person, you know, or done something like that. But you know, and I'm a wuss, so I wouldn't have done that anyway. And I'm like, okay, just okay. What would my value system say? And then be patient and try to get us back on track. Because I would love to say, and Miranda, what you're talking about, this fourth pillar, that's extreme. That's like the advanced level. And even then, when you get small elements of it, I wouldn't say I'm there yet, but like you're going to be challenged with some big stuff. You're like, wow, this is a hard one. And your biggest thing is, how do I behave? Because everyone's watching you like a hawk. You know, so
this is definitely the hardest. And like, I've been certified in emotional intelligence for years, and I score, like, you can actually score this. There's a quotient, there's tests you can take. I score around 90% in emotional intelligence. I'm pretty proud of it because I've worked really hard, but there's still 10% that can get shook. You know, I'm not perfect. So this happens to the best of us when we get into challenging situations. So some of the things that you can ask yourself that are going to help to impact your ability to have a higher level of relationship management, or, you know, if I were leading a tense meeting, you know, say I'm a doctor listening and we have team meetings and things are getting a little tense. There's some conflict conversation happening. It's getting uncomfortable. You know, how would I know that tensions are high? What are some of the actions or feelings or words that might be expressed during that team meeting that would help me to know if tensions are high? And then what behaviors could I exhibit to help balance or motivate or shift that tension to resolve? You also want to think about, what behaviors are other people exhibiting in a negative situation? What words could I use that help to diffuse a situation? We talk a lot about not using you statements, but talking more about your own self and, I'm feeling this way. What I would really like to see is this, versus you never blah, 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 because that's going to raise the energy level and not diffuse the energy level. So the bottom line with relationship management is asking yourself some of these questions, like I just mentioned, and like, how can I positively influence this situation in this moment? This can happen with patients too. If you have a nervous patient in the chair and you really struggle because maybe you're a younger, newer dentist and you haven't been through that very many times yet, where someone's crying, oh my gosh, how are we going to get through this appointment? Stop for a minute. How are you feeling? Regulate. I'm going to respond and not react. I can tell that they're also feeling something. Okay, what are they feeling? Okay, what could I do right now that could make it easier for them? What could I do right now that would help to bring positivity and elevate the mood? Like we said, how do we go from chaos to peace? What are some things that we could bring? What energy could I contribute?
Yeah. And I know that there's been many people that have referenced this type of quote, and there's many, and it's the gap between stimulus and response. In your life, mm-hmm. you have this stimulus, and then it's how you respond or how we respond. And if you can manage yourself, or at least think in that gap, that's the secret to the world. At home, with a child, with, you know, with a significant other, with a team member, it's like, okay, it's not going, or patient, it's not going where I want to go, but.
Sure. You and I talk about volleyball tournaments all the time. I was at a volleyball tournament this past weekend, and there was some parents that were getting really heated. And I was thinking about this in that moment of like, you know, okay, guys, what are we really here for? You know, we're here for the kids. It's not about you. You have to be others minded when you get to this level of emotional intelligence and relationship management. The Arbinger Institute, I know we like to shout out books. They have a great book called The Outward Mindset. And I think that book does a great job of this level of emotional intelligence where you're thinking of other people first and what positive impact you could have on any given situation or on their life. So this is the pinnacle for sure. So if you're just hearing about emotional intelligence for the first time, let's just go back to pillar one and start working on ourselves first as a leader. But you'll get here and we'll help you.
Yeah. It's so funny you bring up volleyball tournaments or anything. I'm so glad that the cameras were pointed on the court, you know, because like those are just fascinating. And you can see when people have extremely low levels of intelligence and it affects not only the outcome, the team, but their own child. That's when it's like, it's crazy. So,
well, and you can have an impact on, and most people who, you know, if you're listening and you're a parent, you've been there. If your kids play sports or even, I know I have a coaching client, their kids in robotics. That's a lot of pressure too. When you get into these high school level competitions, you know, we were seeing the kids on the court, they're starting to feel the pressure. They're starting to get down. So this is the social awareness piece. And another mom and I were like, oh, they're getting in their heads. They're in their feelings. These are middle school girls. Like that's going to be hard to recover from. And so we were like, what could we do to impact this energy in a positive way? And we sure did do the moonwalk and the hammer dance and some Tootsie rolling on the sidelines. And we got them laughing on the court. And it was crazy how the energy shifted in their game simply because they got out of that emotional funk and into a lighter space. And it took an external force because they're kids. But as adults, and we work on this, you don't need the external force as much. You're going to be able to do it for your own self over time.
Yeah. Speaking of video, we got a video of that. Like next time that happens, you got to bring that.
It is on Facebook, but I'm not going to share it with you unless you're my friend. Good for you if you have access.
That is so funny. That is awesome. This is hard stuff. And as you embrace this journey, you're going to see its rewards on the people that matter to you. You'll see the rewards on your culture. You'll see the rewards on its impact on other leaders. What are some final takeaways, Miranda?
So number one, just you have to be able to take your own emotional temperature. There's a really great image when you go through certification in emotional intelligence of a thermometer and just having that visual image of like, where am I right now? And if you're up in the red, like you have to think of ways, like we talked about before, like take a walk, step outside, listen to some music, talk to a friend, journal it out to get that thermometer back down into neutral zone. So you want to take your own emotional temperature. If it's not where you want it to be, it is up to you to change it. Step one is know where you're at. And step two is try to find a couple of things that can help to affect your emotional state. And just like dentistry, we know that ignoring the symptoms within our practice, the things that aren't going well, does not make an issue go away. Over time, it's only going to get worse. You always say unresolved conflict always becomes crisis, right? And so if we just stick our head in the sand and don't focus on how do we improve this over time, it's only going to get worse. So use the visual to diagnose your emotional intensity with that thermometer. Like come up with countermeasures. If you have an accountability partner in your practice, maybe you are an actual partner or you have an office manager or a small team where you can all check each other, let them know, hey, I'm really working on trying to be a better balanced leader for all of you. And use the thermometer as a reference. Like if you see me getting into the red, hey doc, I think you're in the red right now. And then you have to take that feedback and go, you know what? I asked them to do that for me. You're right. I'm going to go sit down and I'm going to figure out where am I at? What emotion am I feeling? And what do I need to do with it? And then you'll be able to work your way up into that more high level where you start affecting other people as well. You got to start with yourself first. Look in the mirror.
Yeah. Amen. I love this, Miranda. And, you know, the secret to anything, be it a business, a family, is people, getting good at people and
absolutely
knowing how to do that, or at least becoming aware of that. And we all start in different places. And this is a great framework. As you learn more about this, again, I just can't emphasize its impact enough. and how it makes your practice and your life better. Your favorite days, let me just face it, is when you go to work and you enjoy going to work and you look around at your huddle and you go, I love you, you're great, you're awesome, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you've earned that place, you know? Mm-hmm. And you also know this is dynamic. I got to keep earning it every day. So I got to be more and more aware. And so I love this. Now, a couple things. If we know, because statistics show that one of the biggest challenges dentists have and will continue to have for many years is finding great people and developing great people. This summer, our To the Top Study Club is going to be about cultivating confidence and leadership, healthy leaders and healthy team, happy team. Can you talk about that, Miranda?
Absolutely. So we want to make sure that we're fostering all aspects of the dental practice. So we talk about helping doctors and practices be more aligned and how to be more smart. How do we focus on the data and know where our KPIs are driving us? But a really important piece is that healthy culture piece and making sure that we have, like you said, research is showing us now more than ever, team is so hard to find. And when you find good people, you want them to stick around. And so we're going to spend some time this summer talking about how to become an effective, healthy leader. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence strategies a little deeper. We're going to talk about some of the communication factors and things that can impact our teams. What are the stresses and triggers that they're under? And what can we do as leaders to help continue to develop them so that they want to stay and be a part of our organization? So I'm excited for that one. I'll be presenting alongside you and Barrett in the summer programs. So definitely if you find this interesting, like come and join us because we're just going to dig even deeper when we go into those To the Top sessions this summer.
I love it. You guys got to check it out. It's an amazing study club. You can come for free. If you don't love it, you don't have to stay, but I know that won't happen. So we also have a great download in Great Teams, Conflict Becomes Productive. It's a PDF. You can go right to the show notes, download it. Our goal it's just to give you a ton of resources and create a lot of value so you guys keep showing up. And if you're really struggling and this is just overwhelming, we have a full-time therapist here. Her name is Gina, and she's awesome. She's part of our team, and you can learn more about ACT. And she's just a great, great person to help you with solutions. So make sure you check that out. So Miranda, thank you as always. I love having you on here.
Thank you so much for having me. I always love being here.
Awesome. Well, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. We love this so much. We're going to keep bringing it. This is an amazing profession. It's an awesome profession. But you got to think well. You got to be surrounded by great information and some of the best practices. And that's what this podcast is all about. So if you keep showing up, we'll keep bringing it. How's that? So you guys can have a better practice and a better life. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.